Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in 2 Samuel, and this is chapter 4 today, and there are 12 verses there, and then we have, in the series of dealing with self, we are on part 8, and part 9 and 10, I've finished part 9 today, and that has to do with telling people, or showing you that both God and Satan, if you're a born-again Christian, both the Lord and Satan is living incarnate in you. Because the Lord lives within your spirit, if you're staying spiritual all the time. And the devil, Satan, is living in your flesh. And he shows himself with your opinions, your ideas. That is yourself. And so you can always tell. I mean, a person that's really well versed in the Spirit of the Lord can tell who is incarnate, who it is living in you incarnate that is the strongest, the Lord or Satan, because they're both there. Even if you're the best of Christians, the Apostle Paul stated that he had to keep his flesh under. He had to keep himself under the control of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he would become a castaway, because the Satan that is incarnate in him will show its ugly head, and he will be punished for that severely throughout eternity. He, too, would be a castaway. All right? So people need to meditate on that both day and night, and that's what my message is tomorrow. And then I have a message today after tomorrow in regard to a magnanimous type person, a person that always wants to be friends with everybody and never voices their opinion or God's opinion or God's truth to anybody. Somebody could be saying something wrong and they'll just clam up. And somebody could be saying something right, and you won't get an amen out of them. They just are the silent majority. And they really think they're of the Lord because they never talk. But these are the worst and most corrupt of the people. The Satan is living deeply into their flesh, in their spirit and soul as well, because it doesn't matter if Satan is talking or the Lord. They're not going to say anything. They're self-righteous. And the Bible says that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven before a self-righteous person that just wants to be loved and liked by everybody. And therefore, they have no opinion, or they don't have any expression of God coming out of them in regard to what evil people are doing in the church or good people. They're just silent. They're magnanimous. And the Lord really hates those people more than anyone. And they're going to eventually be broken to pieces, just like Job was, self-righteous. And he had to have a lot of things taken away from him before he got busted. The breaking of the cross happened to him. But at any rate, let's all go up to the throne right now. Now, this is just a little sneak preview of the things that are coming tomorrow and the next day. All right? And let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint today's messages. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life and for the knowledge of your word, to where we know the difference between right and wrong. The difference between Satan living incarnate in us and you living incarnate in us. We are supposed to be the temple of God. You made us to be your temple. And Lord, anything other than you in us is the devil, it's Satan. Your word plainly states that. We're to reprove and rebuke people. We're not to be concerned about, oh, I just don't want to make waves, or I just didn't want to get into it with them because I knew there was going to be a big argument, and they're just going to justify themselves, and they're going to go around getting all kinds of witnesses. I could care less about that. And anyone that's really where the Lord is living incarnate in them, they're not concerned about their will or their ideas or their opinion of how they should act or be. They're to be exactly, they're supposed to be dead, aren't they, Father? And you're supposed to be the one that speaks out of them. The words I speak are not mine own, you said, Jesus. And everyone that is of you follows you. They do exactly what you do. And so, Lord, there's a lot of people in the church that are so immature. They are walking around being led about by Satan. And on top of that, it's even worse, but they're self-righteous about it. Lord, we ask that you anoint chapter 4 here of 2 Samuel with his 12 verses. We ask, Lord, that you anoint the translation and the commentary, and that you anoint part 8. Let everything that is done on this tape today be straight from the throne. Let everyone, Father God, know that you live incarnate in my mortal body, and that your spirit keeps my flesh, my opinions, and my own ideas and my own will under the power, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that everybody will receive these messages and will allow you to do a work in them so that you can do a work through them. Father, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, we've got a couple of letters here also, and one of them, she said, was from Southern California, but it really happens to be from south of, you know, where is
Central
it?
America.
Central America. She said it says CA, and she thought it, what was the name of the country?
El Salvador.
She said it was from El Salvador, California. I said, wait a minute. Boy, these Hispanics are really moving into the country to where they can name towns after themselves. And so Sharon Strait and Michelle out here and told her, no, that's Central America. All right, so let's anyway read that one from Central America.
Dear beloved brother in Christ, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to you and all those who surround you. Dear brother, thank you for sending me the wonderful literature. They are a great encouragement to me. I want to tell you that I was sick, and your literature served as healing for me. Thank you for remembering me. AP from El Salvador, Central America.
All right, and then who's the other one from?
From Malaita Province, Solomon Islands. Dear right. Pastor Tony, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I thank God for your anointed ministry, which reaches many countries in this world for Christ. You are turning back many lost souls the world over into God's kingdom in these dying minutes of this dispensation. Praise be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you are serving effectively. It was a blessing to receive your world newsletters entitled The Five Steps of Salvation, The Code, Defend Your Mind, and The Art of Spiritual Defense. They were given to my small daughter by someone. I was really blessed by them. Please, Brother Tony, put me on your mailing list, and I want you to also send me the book entitled The Messiah and 5 Bibles, one printed in large letters, King James Version. May God continue to bless and anoint you with a double portion of his blessing and anointing. Yours in Christ's service, M.O. from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
All right, I can see by some of these letters coming in here that what the mailroom is doing is just sending them a lot of old tracts, literature, and I want them to mingle the old with the new. They should send some new ones also, because these are messages that are pertaining more and more to the closeness of the coming of the Lord, so the end time, and people need to be brought up to date. And so I instruct you people that are working in the mail room to begin sending out also some of the new pieces of literature with the old. All right, they're all important, but we need to keep everybody up to date. All right, now chapter 4, 2 Samuel. Okay, Sharon, with his 12 verses.
the murder of Ishbosheth. King James Version, verse 1. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. Verse 2. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Berethite, of the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth was reckoned to Benjamin.
You had trouble with that word, spell it, so that they know, may be able to pronounce it better.
Beerothite.
Berothite. Okay, then what?
Verse 3. And the Berethites fled to Gittaim, and were sojourners there until this day. Verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Verse 5. And the sons of Rimmon the Berethite, Rechab and Baana, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. Verse 6. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. Translation, verse 1 through 6. The murder of Ishbosheth. When Ishbosheth heard about Abner's death at Hebron, he lost all courage, and his people were paralyzed with fear. Verse 2. Now there were two brothers, Baana and Rechab, who were captains of Ishbosheth's raiding parties. They were sons of Rimmon, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, who lived in Beeroth. The town of Beeroth is now part of Benjamin's territory. Verse 3. Because the original people of Beeroth fled to Gittaim, Gittain, where they still live as foreigners. Verse 4. Bracket, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when Saul and Jonathan were killed at the Battle of Jezreel. When news of the battle reached the capital, the child's nurse grabbed him and fled, but she fell and dropped him as she was running, and he became crippled as a result. In bracket. Verse 5. One day, Rechab and Baana, the sons of Rimmon from Beeroth, went to Ishbosheth's home around noon as he was taking a nap. Verse 6. The doorkeeper, who had been sifting wheat, became drowsy and fell asleep. So Rechab and Baana slipped past the doorkeeper, went into Ishbosheth's bedchamber, bracket or bedroom, and bracket, and stabbed him in the stomach. Then they escaped.
Now, this is why in the services during the time when I was in the Navy, that it was a law that during wartime, if anyone falls asleep on watch or is not there on watch, they're asleep, you should put a bullet right in their head. That is the law of the United States, where it used to be when it was the United States of America. And people that are on watch show that they don't care anything about the people that they're watching. And a watch person is supposed to be the very best. There's a person in Las Vegas, they have a big motion picture studio, and they did the movie Spider-Man and a bunch of other things, like a bunch of big movies, and they're winning awards and everything. And I was over at their studio. They want me to be partners with them. And they have over $30 million worth of equipment in there, and they do all the spots, the commercials for all the casinos in town and everything like that. And, of course, I can't be involved with them because I'm full-time in the ministry. But I noticed they have this is people that are with Mike Tyson and Don King, And they all want me in on the deal over there, and Eric Brown and Tony Brown and all those people. And so when they took me on their studio lot, they had people there day and night because I was talking to Joe Koffenberg over there in regard to some of the things that we were discussing. And I always like to witness to those kind of people because I'm out of the motion picture industry and also the recording industry as well. And that's why they're always offering me things like that. And they also have a website where you can watch the fights anytime you want, day or night. And instead of paying $45 for fights, you can watch almost all the fights for $4.95. And they believe they're going to be, there'll be like 500 million people watching them, which will bring in $500 million a day. And so what it is this bigger deal than any motion picture company going. And I just, you know, he just called, yesterday or the day before and wanted to know when I'd be in town so I could be partners with them. Because they like my ability to be able to promote. And so I don't really turn them off or anything like that, but I just told them to send me three copies. They have three new moves, and I wanted to see what they had there to see if there's anything scriptural or anything that I can get involved with. And I've always wanted to do the movie Revelation, which was on a 200-foot screen. The first 100, the 200-foot screen, the first 100, the top 100 screen would not be used until the end of the picture when Christ is coming back to Earth again. And then the whole IMAX theater, which is similar to an IMAX theater, the big blocks of or meteorites to be coming down from heaven, and these the hail, about the huge pieces of hail, 100 pounds each, would be coming down. They're coming down from the ceilings and on the walls and everything, and graves are opening up on the all around the theater, and the spirits of the people are rising up and mingling with their bodies and then being changed to ecclesiastical bodies, and the ones that are going to hell will be going before the Lord to be cast down into hell immediately. And Christ is coming back with all the tens of thousands of saints on white horses immediately after the tribulation. Anyone that tells you that you're going to be raptured out of the tribulation is a dirty liar. I mean, it's right in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, the Lord says that he will come back immediately after the tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but anyway, when we were going on the lot, they have watchmen there, and they are wide awake. And the minute we drove up in our vehicle, Sanford was driving me. The people they come out there, and they confront me to say, who are you coming to see? And Eric Brown, Joe Koffenberg. I don't know if Tyson's here or Don King, but, I'm coming to see them. They asked me to come over. So they call on the walkie-talkie into the building and say, okay, and they open this huge gate and let me in. We have a problem with people staying awake on watch. Even the unsaved people are far more. And all they have is $30 million worth of movie equipment and recording equipment and all that sort of stuff. And we have precious souls that are of the Lord that you're supposed to be guarding. And, of course, we don't have guns or anything like that. And I didn't see any guns on these people, but they are wide awake. No matter what time we drove up in the middle of the night or during the day, they were right on the job. I mean, and they really took their job serious. And so, but in here, this person snuck by them and went in and killed him. Amen?
Amen.
And who did they kill?
Ishbosheth.
Yes, bam. All right, so let's continue on.
King James Version, verse 7. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night.
Right after, while the guy was still sleeping out there, the guard. I tell you, people fall asleep on watch, and somebody gets killed because of you, You'll stand judgment for that at the judgment bar of God, especially if it's a anointed saint of the Lord that is bringing forth messages throughout the entire world. Okay, then what?
Verse 8, and they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, Behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed.
They really thought they did good. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, and David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. Verse 10, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. Verse 11, how much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? Verse 12, and David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron.
If they took his head off, I would have taken his off too. I mean, if I was living in the Old Testament days, of course, we can't do that today. The Lord says that vengeance belongs to him. And for people that are lax on their jobs and just want to do what they want to do, they're just full of self, God is going to take care of you because you're not. You're walking after Satan. Satan is living incarnate in your body, and you don't care if it's that as obvious as it is. It's extremely obvious to me, some of you people, that some of the Christians that say they're Christians on television, it's extremely obvious that they are false prophets and false brethren, false sisters and brothers. They are dispensing Satan every moment of the day. He's living out his life in you. Okay, then go ahead. Translation.
Verse 7 through 12. But before leaving, they cut off his head as he lay there on his bed, taking his head with them. They fled across the Jordan Valley through the night. Verse 8. They arrived at Hebron and presented Ishbosheth's head to David. Quote, Look! Exclamation mark, they exclaimed. Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of your enemy Saul, who tried to kill you. Today the Lord has given you revenge on Saul and his entire family. Exclamation mark, unquote.
That's their own opinion.
Right?
Right.
So that was Satan. Here they thought they were doing a good deed. They really thought that was good intentions, that they were really standing up for David. But David didn't think so. He killed him for it. So people can have think that they're doing good, just like the Apostle Peter thought he was doing good when he says, No, Lord, let it not happen to you. And Jesus called him Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Because you savor the things of man, and man is possessed with the devil. The devil is living incarnate in man. But you don't savor the things of God. Now, you should know by now, you've seen me raise the dead. You should know that I'm God, and you shouldn't be taking hold on me and telling me that I'm wrong. Because you've seen me heal whole towns full of people, and that I've given you power, and I've taught you everything that you know about the spiritual realm. And then you're saying, far be it from you, no, it will not happen. When this is the very reason I came into the world, is to die for the sins of the world. If I don't die, then all of you people will die and go to hell. Why should that be a thing that's far from me to do? And that's why we know that Jesus did not say, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? When he went on the cross. The original Aramaic says, my God, for this cause did I come into the world. But the translators didn't get that. There's a lot of mistakes made in translations. So that's why the Bible tells you, the Bible is the final judgment, not your stinky opinions or Peter's opinions or my opinions or anybody else's ideas. Every time you voice your opinion, you're voicing something from Satan, whether you think it's good, like this man thought, and the deed that he did was satanic, or you're saying something that is from the Lord. And even if you're not saying anything, that's your opinion that you shouldn't say anything, and so therefore that's of the devil as well. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you think that's right?
Amen.
If you're supposed to be saying something, or if you're supposed to be doing something, if you're married to a man or a woman and you just clam up all the time, you never even communicate with them, then you're not married to that person. You willingly and wantingly are allowing Satan to divorce you from that person. And if you think you're right, the Lord gave me that message to show you that you're absolutely wrong. That's just your opinion. And it has nothing to do with the Lord at all. The marriage between man and wife and is the same as between the Lord and a saint. The saint is always communicating with the Lord, and the Lord is always communicating with the saint. The wife is always communicating with the Lord, their husband. But, of course, people have their own opinion, they're self-righteous, and they're going to hell. And the husband would communicate with someone a wife that talked to him. But the husband is under no obligation. If you see that this woman is so self-opinionated and is so possessed with the devil that she thinks that she's somebody that she's not, a husband is not even required to have anything to do with her whatsoever. So you just put her in ward according to God's word. Now, I don't care. You mentioned a person yesterday where this man caught his wife committing adultery 3 times. Well, the opinion of his pastor was just forgive her and just go on and live life, you know, carry on with your life. But does the Bible say that?
No.
Well, how could you continue life walking in the Lord when you're living in such an unscriptural way, when the Lord has already given leave to you to get rid of her? And you can remarry again, but only somebody that's of the Lord. He testified that this woman, he wouldn't even go to church with him. Well, right there. And the church he was going to was of no value anyway. He used to live at this church, but he got out of here because he didn't like God's word. He rather leaned to his own understanding when the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The Word of God. And so that's what's wrong with the world today. And this is coming to the end of the church age. The church age is over with. People are not of the Lord anymore. Very few people are of the Lord. Just even 144,000 Jews out of the millions and millions of Jews, that's all of the elect that's going to be saved. And where do you Gentiles think that you're going to go when you are so far from the Lord and filled with your own opinions? It's your opinion that you shouldn't communicate. You're the devil. You're the incarnation of Satan himself right here on this earth. And the Lord wants you to know that. Or if you're saying, I just want to do what I want to do and I'm not, I just want you to know that right off. You're the devil. And the Bible says that the people of the Lord are not to have anything to do with the devil. And by God, I won't. I won't have anything to do with a demon-possessed person. A person that thinks they're more righteous than God. Okay, so go ahead.
Verse 9. But David said to Rechab and Baanah, quote, as surely as the Lord lives, the one who saves me from my enemies, I will tell you the truth. Verse 10. Once before, someone told me, quote, Saul is dead, unquote, thinking he was bringing me good news. But I seized him and killed him at Ziklag.
Well, but David, I thought I was doing you all right. Please forgive me. No, you took somebody's life, boy. You took a man's life that I was never would have killed him. I never would kill Saul. And these kids are from Saul. And I wouldn't even touch him because he was anointed by the Lord. And anybody in the church that thinks that he can talk down to even to the children of the anointed of the Lord, you're sick in your head. I mean, that's your opinion. That's your own opinion. No, you're supposed to bring all these reports to the pastor. Amen?
Amen.
And the pastor will take care of his own children. Okay, and that's the way it really is, unless you want to be the incarnation of Satan. He's living in your flesh anyway, and you just allow him to work there if you're not living in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right, let's finish off here.
But I seized him and killed him at Ziklag. That's the reward I gave him for his news! Exclamation mark. Verse 11. Now what reward should I give the wicked men who have killed an innocent man in his own house and on his own bed? Should I not also demand your very lives? Unquote. Verse 12. So David ordered his young men to kill them, and they did. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies beside the pool in Hebron. Then they took Ishbosheth's head and buried it in Abner's tomb in Hebron.
All right, that was the 12 verses with the translation of 2 Samuel chapter 4, and now we have the commentary.
4 verse 1. Saul's son is Ishbosheth. 4 verse 9 through 11. David views their act as a violent murder against a defenseless man, therefore warranting execution. 4 verse 12. These radical measures send a message to the northern tribes that David holds no hatred or grudge for Saul, his tribe, or his descendants. 4 verse 9. David acknowledged...
And that's good, because the northern kingdom now came over to be with David because he showed no anger against them. He knew that he was the king. God anointed him to be the king of Israel and Judah. And therefore... It was just the right timing, and there was no need for him to show any anger towards Saul because he was dead anyway. And a defenseless son, he would have let eat at his own table. And it was if you're looking politically, it was a very good political move for David to make too, because the entire northern kingdom, that is Israel, said, boy, he's not going to kill us either. If he won't be angry at Saul and his children, then we're going to feel very relaxed around David, because he's a merciful person. And anyone that would try to hurt any of us because of the fact that we were associated with Saul, David will chop their hands and feet off and have his men fall on him and hang him. So they felt, the northern kingdom, Israel, felt very secure with David. Okay, go ahead.
4 verse 9. David acknowledged God as the source of his deliverance. This is crucial in the process of recovery. If we cannot give God the credit for our victories, it is obvious that we never really gave our life over to him in the first place. We need to...
But some people are walking around without any victory whatsoever. It's because they lean more to the incarnation of Satan, and they reject being the incarnation of the Lord. Now, both are there, but one has to overpower the other. If you don't stay in the Spirit, then, of course, Satan will overpower, will just take over. But if you stay in the Spirit, then the Spirit will keep Satan under control. And you'll be able to walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh, because the devil is there in your flesh. If you want to take, I've said this many times, if you want to see the devil, look in the mirror, because he's there in your flesh. In everybody's flesh. But the Bible has the solution to overpower the flesh. And there's no other way but to give yourself wholeheartedly, 100%, as the sacrifice unto the Lord, to where you're the same as a burnt offering, where you're nothing but a heap of ashes. You have no opinions or ideas of your own. If the Lord tells you to rebuke somebody, you do it. You don't care if it makes waves or if they're going to come against you. You just do exactly what the Lord says. Or you, if you've been told you should report things, you will. You're not going to have your own opinion about it and run out the hand. You're not going to be impatient and start rebuking little children and talking down to them just because you're big and they're little. You're not going to abuse children or push people around. And if there's any chasing to do, it should be the Lord. And the Lord, if the Lord chastens, tells the pastor to chasten somebody, well, the pastor will appoint somebody to chasten him, or he'll take him off privileges. That's just the way the Lord operates. And people, it's good for you to learn that early in life, because you'll avoid a lot of heartache and a lot of tribulations, because the Lord will definitely put you through some tribulations until you're broken, just as he did Job, for thinking he was right. And I'll tell you one thing, he was a whole lot more right than a lot of people that I see that call themselves Christians. Okay, then what?
We need to give credit where credit is due. Praising God for our victories is a very positive and perfect way to show how much we depend on him and appreciate his help.
Yeah, some people, when they hear the word of God, boy, they just show their hatred towards God. You can see like a morbid look get all over their face. Or you can see a haughty look get on their face. They're just saying, we're not doing that. That's his opinion. But no, you'll see that in these messages that I'm bringing, I'll bring up scripture and verses. You have nothing. I'd love to debate the Bible with any of you. And with anybody on earth, if you want to debate the Bible. All right, now we're in the eighth part of dealing with self. Self is your biggest enemy. You know why? Because self is Satan. And I'll prove it in the next couple of, not this message today, but, well, I'm continually telling you of it, as the messages keep going on, you'll find out more and more that self is Satan. Your opinions are satanic, okay? And amen?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
And also, your ideas are satanic. Who do you think you are? God, some of the most cruddy people think that they're above God. I've just never seen anything like it in my life. People that you wouldn't even really, before I was saved, I wouldn't even spit on them. Let alone even talk to them. And then when they show that they just don't love the Lord, it makes, there's a godly hatred, which the psalmist David had. He says he hates them with a perfect hatred. They don't. They hate the Lord. That's who they hate. And anybody that hates the Lord, I hate. The Bible tells, Jesus tells us that we have to hate Satan. Amen?
Yeah.
And when I see self coming out of somebody, I hate it, all right? I would that you repent, but if you just insist on being led about by Satan and letting him rule your flesh and your spirit, well, then I have nothing of you. I have nothing that's in me to have to do with you. I just don't want to do anything with you. Okay, so let's do Part 8, Dealing with Self.
Applying the experience of dealing with self.
Here's how to apply the experience to deal with self. Then what?
The applying of the experience of dealing with self is firstly in the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Although we understand the crucifying of the old man and know that our opinions are the expression of self, yet we do not live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is but an empty doctrine and does not afford any practical experience. If we do not live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and yet try to deal with self, such exercise is exactly like the strenuous effort practiced by the Buddhists, Hindus, Catholics, Chinese, and moralists.
Right. You just, apart from Christ, you can't do any of those things. If you've got your own opinions, you're worthless to the Lord. You're a good tool for the devil, but you're worthless to the Lord. And if you justify people that are doing satanic things in the church, okay, then what else?
It is not a spiritual experience at all. Only by the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth the Spirit of reality. Therefore, only as we live in fellowship of the Holy Spirit is our seeing the real seeing and our experience the real experience. Therefore, if we desire to live continuously in the experience of dealing with self, the basic requirement is to live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Right. You have to desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've brought messages on being controlled by the Holy Spirit again, and probably in a few weeks I'll be bringing a message that is similar to it, because that's part of dealing with self and all the different, seven different aspects of dealing with self. And one of them is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then go ahead. And you have to remember these messages. I don't know, when you really have the real fear of God, you don't have to learn these messages in increments and by words. You just such so much in the fear of the Lord that you just do that naturally. I never had to study to know these things. I'm so afraid of God ever since he started pulling the breath out of my body. And I know that everybody else is. And I was a tough guy before I was saved. I mean, I wasn't afraid of anything. And I screamed like a little baby when the Lord started pulling the breath out of me and showing me hell. I said, "Oh, God, please don't kill me! Oh, God!" Right in front of a bunch of people. And so I know that you people are going to scream your heads off. I wasn't afraid of anybody or anything. I didn't even care if I died. I, just didn't care about anything, because I just figured everything is corrupt and rotten, and if anybody tried to cross me or try to get in my way, I would send somebody after them, or I'd go after myself. I was doing a promotion, and this man was saying, somebody came up to me in the Red Velvet. It was a nightclub in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard near Vine. He said, "This guy over here said that you didn't do the Bobby Jameson promotion." So I just walked over to him and picked him up and threw him across the bar into the mirror and the glasses back there. And I said, "Anyone want to do anything about it? Bartender, any one of you guys, come on. Okay? You people wouldn't fool with me out there." But it's amazing how you, and when the Lord came upon me, I was so frightened that all that came out of me. All that totally came out of me. And now I'm not afraid. I'm still not afraid to die, because I know I'm saved. And I know I've got the fear of the Lord. But I see people just swaggering around. And I know that they're swaggering around under the spirit and control of Satan. Under their flesh. They're so fleshy, it's just nauseating to me. And I could mention many instances. Somebody cut the roof of my new Cadillac convertible, Barone Brits, Eldorado Barone Brits. And I hired a bunch of black guys to lay out there all night long. And the person, one of the persons, I made a mistake by telling the person that was a friend of her, and it was a female that did it. And so she didn't do anything that night. But that was very disappointed that that person. I told him I'd give him $1,000 for every bone that's broken in their body. I said, if you break 25 bones, you get $25,000 each. Don't mess with me. And so people, you know, they just get, well, you're nice and you're, and yes, I am. You know, they know I'm going to do things according to the Lord. But then nowadays, you know, they get really upset with you if you put them out of the church. But the Bible tells you in the 11th chapter of Revelation. Now there's a pastor that's telling people, anyone that puts you out of the church, they're the devil. But the 11th chapter of Revelation tells you to measure the people that are in the church, and if they're not walking according to the Spirit, if they're walking according to self, in other words, Satan, to put them out with the Gentiles, to the unsaved, okay? And so then you got a bunch of this. Pastor has his own opinion. He doesn't care anything about what, and he's quoting chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. It's a new book that just came in. I glanced at a couple of pages, and I know what's the point of reading this book. I mean, it's just so full of heresy. And he's telling people that you're not supposed to go to church anymore because God is turning his back on the churches. Well, what about forsaking, do not forsake the assembling together of one another in the church? And he says it's the end of the church. Well, I'm the church. If you're really walking in the Spirit, you're the church. Amen?
Amen.
So God's not putting an end of the churches. Amen?
Amen.
So you just look at all these different people, and they write these books and spend thousands of dollars to print them up and spend hours to do it, and they don't know what they're talking about. But, I mean, if somebody would try to say that you're doing my work, I've had, since I've been saved, I mean, I've had people knock me off. They've knocked off the clothing designs that I've done. They knocked off my ideas. Mattel Toys have made billions of dollars on me because I did their designs for 3 years. And just for the Barbie doll. And Renee Rice, who is part of the organization, was just a salesperson. And now she's become the head of the entire Mattel toy, because she used to call me up all night long picking my brain, and I'd tell her different things to fuse Barbie with the Ferrari automobile, and to fuse her with Coca-Cola and all these different people to make everybody focus their attention to. She said, what would you do? And I said, well, of course, I'm in the ministry, and I'm not doing that kind of stuff. And so she used all my ideas. Warner Brothers is using my idea, the 20 original hits. Now they're up to 100 original hits and all that kind of stuff. But they're all ripping me off, okay? But I don't go in there. I don't send anybody after them anymore because I'm born again in the Spirit, and I don't care anything about that stuff anymore. Okay? So now I know that I have the riches of the entire, all the universe is combined because I'm an heir and joint heir with God, with Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I own everything. And so I don't feel, you know, if they want to rip me off and just be involved in worldly things, go ahead. All right? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, and they're not going to take one penny with them into heaven or hell. All right? I don't care. And, you know, I've given people different ideas. They, what would you do about this and that? And then all of a sudden I see it in print. People call me up on the phone and say, can we use some of your literature in our book and so on and so forth? Or they'd say, what do you think about this, Tony? And they'd read it. And I said, that's fantastic. That's very good. He said, I got it off your tracks. I said, oh, I forgot about that one. I said, but it's true. He said, well, can I? He says, I wrote a whole book regarding your tracks and stuff like that. Is it okay if I put, I don't care, go ahead. I want it out. It was freely given to me. I'm not looking for money. I says, I just hope that you don't charge for it. He says, well, I'm going to charge. You know, it costs money to do it. Well, go ahead. Okay? But go ahead with this right here, all right?
The crucifixion of Christ upon us. We have to let the Holy Spirit execute the crucifixion of Christ upon us. I'm going to say it again. Letting the Holy Spirit execute the crucifixion of Christ upon us.
Yeah, in other words, let him fill you with the Holy Spirit and stay in the Spirit. Because the minute you get out of the Spirit, you're going to be walking according to your opinion. Because the word of the Lord is to stay in the Spirit. And it's your opinion to get out of the Spirit. To not stay in the Spirit. That's what your mindset is. That's your idea. That isn't the Lord's idea. Or his way. His way is stay in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. But if you do not stay in the Spirit, you will walk in the flesh. Now God knows the human, the mechanics of the human body, the mind, the soul, the spirit. And if he tells you that, then it's true. Okay, because he's the truth, not you, and your filthy, rotten ideas and your opinions, all right? And there's not many people that will talk to you this way, but I'm trying to, you know, because I don't hear pastors talking this way to the people. And so the Lord lets me know that people need to be talked to this way. Huh?
Amen.
Okay. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
If we live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and touch the Holy Spirit, then we must allow the Holy Spirit to execute the crucifixion of Christ upon all our living and actions.
Right. In other words, you have to be totally surrendered unto the Holy Spirit in order to not walk after the flesh. Okay? I've said it at least 1,000 different ways. And there's more. You know, there's more. The Lord is infinite. Amen?
Amen.
There's no end. Go ahead.
Allowing is our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to perform his work in and through us, it means that we are cooperating with him. In this way, it is on one hand that we apply the crucifixion of Christ through the Holy Spirit, and on the other hand, that we let the Holy Spirit execute Christ's crucifixion on us. On one hand, it is our doing, and on the other hand, it is the working of the Holy Spirit.
Right. It's our job to stay in the Spirit by meditating on him constantly and just concentrating on what it is, because it's very easy to just live after, you know, whatever comes or goes. Happy-go-lucky, careless attitude. But it takes work to walk in the Spirit. It takes concentration. If it takes concentration for you to study your books when you go to universities, then be, you know, and just for something that you're going to earn some money, and by the time before you even leave the university, you might drop dead after all the work you put in there, and then you'll be in hell. But if you stay with the Lord, you're going to make more everything. You're going to have everything in the universe. But yourself, and yourself is worthless anyway. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shaped, conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. Okay, so that's what you are, and I was, you and I were, and now if you're walking in the Spirit, you're something else. But it takes, you have to concentrate on it. It's not like concentrating on cooking or baking a pie or cooking some eggs or something or typing a letter. Some people, I see them concentrating more on that than they do. It's nice to know what you're doing when you're cooking and to pay attention to what you're doing. It's nice to pay attention when you're typing a letter as well, but during the time you can be praising and thanking the Lord as well. Amen? Because...
Amen.
Once you both the devil, Satan, and the Lord want to live in your flesh. Satan's going to be there even if the Lord is there. The only thing is, the only way is to keep him under control, is to keep him subdued, to keep him down and under, is to stay in the Spirit. And the Spirit is the same thing as the cross. Because the Spirit is able to mortify your desire for the things of the world, the flesh, and all the lust thereof, and the Spirit is able to resurrect you from the dead once you, if you die. You'll never die if you're in the Spirit. Okay, then what?
It is impossible to separate one from the other in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. At this time, we are living in Romans chapter 8, in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are putting to death all the desire and expressions of the old man through the Holy Spirit. If one who loves God has a pliable will, and he is willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit will bring him deeper and deeper into the cross and put his self thoroughly to death.
All right, praise the Lord. That was part 8 of dealing with the self, and then also 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12, and until chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, and part 9 of dealing with self. This is Tony Alamo telling you, your pastor, telling you to stay in the Spirit. And you will not do the things of the flesh. Stay in the Spirit and keep praising, looking upward, praising and thanking the Lord for everything that you have, because you're the wealth. Somebody said yesterday that they called on the phone and mockingly said, I couldn't come to the phone. I was taping. They called 4 times, and I couldn't come to the phone because I was doing something else. And they said, what, is he out with Donald Trump? Well, why would I be with Donald Trump? Unless I'm witnessing to him. Amen?
Amen.
And I guess this person thinks that I haven't been around people like Donald Trump. I've been around people like that, but Donald Trump himself said he's broke and he's deeply in debt. He owes billions of dollars. And evidently this person has the wrong estimation of Donald Trump, and for sure a false estimation of me. And the only way I'd be around Donald Trump and Yvonne, I was around them in New York City, and I designed jackets for their Taj Mahal. They wanted to talk to me about that, and they did. And it was no big deal to me. I know a lot of the people, the Wynns, billionaires, multi-billionaires. I don't want to drop names. But Donald Trump himself said the guy selling pencils on the street has got more money than him, because he's multis of billions of dollars in debt. And they tried to foreclose on him many times. So I own the heavens and the earth, according to the Word of God. And so do you, if you're walking in the Spirit. So be happy. Cheer up. Don't be depressed. And don't want for anything. Gold is put down in heaven. You walk on it up there. The streets are made out of it. Amen?
Amen.
So meditate on all these beautiful things of the Lord. Some people act as though it's a death sentence to walk in the Spirit. But that's, you're dead without walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You're dead and on your way to hell. But if you stay in the Spirit, you're alive and on your way to heaven. You don't know that you won't drop dead a minute from now. So get in the Spirit and stay there. Praise the Lord. Tony Alamo, God bless you, and praise the Lord.